You're listening to Thursday Night Mission. I'm Beacon with my host, guiding you out of the stormy airwaves to the solid shores of San Rafael. My guest here is Thomas Heidecker. We've been talking a little bit about his life on the street, and we'll be talking a little more in a bit about how he got up off the street. First, I want to do some announcements. Here, down in the barrel I've uncorked, I have a Faith in Action lecture series that is coming up Thursday, March 8th at 7 p.m. It is at the Community Congregational Church, that's in Tiburon, at 145 Rock Hill Drive. Now, I was actually given this announcement by my friend, the Reverend Paul Gaffney, who is actually the chaplain with the Marin Interfaith Street Chaplaincy. He will be introducing Dr. Stivers. And the event is the first lecture in the Faith in Action lecture series, a project of the Marin Interfaith Street Chaplaincy. Again, Thursday, March 8th, 7 p.m. at 145 Rock Hill Drive, Tiburon. Now, Dr. Laura Stivers is Associate Professor of Ethics at the Dominican University here. And she's going to be sharing insights from her book, Disrupting Homelessness. It's an examination of the systematic causes of homelessness, our societal attitudes towards poverty, and how our faith invites us to work for justice through hospitality. Also, I want to ask, does the First Amendment allow you to say the F word on the air? If you aren't sure, you're like most Americans who don't really know their free speech rights. Luckily, the Stand Up, Sit Down, Speak Out First Amendment campaign, March 12th through 16th, will enlighten you with a week of fun, cash prizes, plus some cool discussions with really smart people. Why? Because free speech rocks. You can go to Facebook and like the First Amendment, Stand Up, Sit Down, Speak Out. They've got their own page. You can also go to their website for a schedule of events at standupsitdownspeakout.com. The First Amendment is cool. Without it, there would be no Facebook, no status updates, for that matter, no explicit Chris Brown birthday cake lyrics, no vulgar stand-up comedy, and no Daily Show. So tune into Penguin Radio this month as we bring you special broadcasts highlighting the First Amendment and its ultimate coolness as part of the Stand Up, Sit Down, Speak Out campaign on campus from the 12th to the 16th. And I'll tell you a little more about that when I do some announcements later. I want to run through a little bit of my calendar right now. I have been invited on Facebook to go see Vinyl at the Sweetwater Music Hall tomorrow. This is Friday at 10 p.m. Kathy Cotton and a bunch of other musicians who are part of our community will be showing up there. So come on down to the Sweetwater and enjoy some great music of Vinyl. They know funk for sure. There is also, not right here in Marin, a benefit for Berkeley Liberation Radio, which is another form of free speech here. This is Saturday, March 3rd at 9:30 p.m. So this is also on Facebook, the benefit Berkeley Liberation Radio. Look it up if you want more details. The next day, Sunday, the 4th at 2 p.m., we have Miss Kitty and Elliot's Evil Jam. And there's also Elliot's Evil Plan is live at Finnegan's Marin. That's coming up on Saturday, March 10th. Sprung Out Plug and Play Band Showcase is at the Red Devil Lounge, March 14th at 7 p.m. And I have been invited to more things, but let's just keep it to the next couple weeks for now. So, thank you for tuning in here on World Famous Penguin Radio. I'm Beacon. I'm here with Tom.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
How are you doing?
You're listening to Thursday Night Mission at radio.dominican.edu. Now that we've gone through our calendar a bit, let's talk a little more about not just where you've been on the street, but how you got up off of the street. What was, if you could describe to me a little bit, without getting too brutal, because I know it can get pretty brutal, what was it? What was that point? Do you remember that feeling that made you say, I've had enough? What was it that motivated you to work to be the man you are now?
Well, I had a serious falling out. I ended up having my wife that is my wife today with me, and she went and got clean and sober, and I was out here by myself, and I went for one night, the last one night, and I got really sick. Joseph from the Ritter House found me curled up in a fetal position, pale white. He took me to the hospital. I was in the hospital for about a month. And that was my bottom. I really thought then, you know, that I would not see my friends anymore.
And by your bottom, you mean, this is a term that's used in 12-step groups to
yes.
talk about a low point, which is like the lowest you can possibly feel. And there, they talk about different levels of bottoms, but that was your big bottom. That was the one.
Huge one.
Your rock bottom.
Yep.
Where you just weren't ready to go on that way anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to go through that, but I'm also very proud of you of using that opportunity to start moving forward. What steps did you take?
Well, I tried to go to different rehabilitation for my addiction, and it just wasn't for me. I mean, it does work for a lot of people, but I'm a person that honestly can't stand their diagram on rules and what you can and cannot do.
A free spirit.
Yes. And so I ended up leaving there, but I went to Mill Street and stayed there. And basically, I've been staying clean by myself. I didn't go to any meetings. It wasn't for me. I had friends around me that respected me and, you know, kept me occupied. I have a beautiful wife that cares about me and loves me, and so does her family. And that's what kept me going, you know. And then, you know, I have a good job. I enjoy it.
But it wasn't just from it wasn't just from going clean and sober to having a good job.
No,
that
I
quickly
actually,
there was a lot of work in between. You mentioned Mill Street.
Yeah.
Now Mill Street is part of the Homeward Bound program.
Yes, it is.
And I'd like to illuminate the Homeward Bound program a little bit. This broadcast is supported by Blogspot on Blogger. You can go there at thursdaynightmission.blogspot.com. You will find more information and links to the Homeward Bound website. I had some dealings with the Homeward Bound program. However, I haven't gone through the whole, I never went through the whole program as you did. After you went to Mill Street, which is a temporary shelter, how did you proceed from there?
Well, after I stayed at Mill Street for like 2 to 3 weeks, they sent me over to New Beginnings, which is a very nice place. They feed you a breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. You got a bed, shower. You have meetings that you can go there. They actually will help you. They have a small computer station where you can go in and try to help find a job, or there's people that will come in and teach you how to use a computer to find work. They have a great class there that I actually took while I was going there. It was called Fresh Starts Culinary.
Okay.
And the teacher of Fresh Stars is Carol Menard, which she is a very fun lady to learn from.
Oh, nice.
I ended up taking her class while I was there for the first year. And while I was there, I proposed to my wife that I have now.
Oh, you proposed to her while you were there. Did she go through the program as well?
Yes, she did. She was there before I was.
Okay. And the culinary program, did she attend that or did she do other things?
She attended that with me.
Okay. So you both went through that.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at the Homeward Bound of Marin website right now. Their slogan on the top of their banner says, Ending Homelessness with Housing, Training, and Hope. And I'm scrolling through their pictures. Hey, there's Ed. And I know that you were a poster child for them for a while. Not only did you graduate from their program, but they got you with an award-winning smile. There you are. I see you right there with that cool hat on. There he is. So you can actually see Tom on their, it's like a flash movie they've set up on the portal of their homepage for Homeward Bound. It reads, students from our Fresh Starts Culinary Academy have graduated to employment with Safeway, Starbucks Coffee, Beth's Fine Desserts, and many others. And you actually did go on to work at Safeway.
Yes, I did.
Now, did you do this directly out of Homeward Bound?
Actually, no, I didn't. I actually got hired at Homeward Bound to be the breakfast cook.
Oh, so they've got jobs there too.
Yeah, they'll if you want to work, you want to go to the culinary class, and you want to look for a job, just ask Carol Menard and say, hey, do you have an opening? And most likely she will.
Nice.
I used to be breakfast and lunch cook for the weekends.
Nice. Now, so you were staying there and working there at the same time?
Yes, I was.
Now, I realize you're not, other than the fact that you worked there, you're not one of the staff members there. Could you give me a little bit of an idea about how many people are housed at New Beginnings, what the situation is like up there for anybody that might be curious, to either to be a client at New Beginnings Center or if they wanted to volunteer or sponsor?
If you want to volunteer at Homeward Bound, you actually need to go there. It's located in Ignacio, down right behind the Ignacio Safeway. And if you want to volunteer, just go walk in. There's a lady there that's the head of the whole department. Her name's Stacy. Just go in and talk to her and tell her you want to volunteer. Now, the other things that they have there and the capacity for the people, I don't know if it's changed, but while I was there, they fit about maybe about 40 to 44 men in one dorm.
Okay.
And about maybe a little more for the women.
Do they also have a family area?
They actually do, but it's not located at New Beginnings.
But they do actually have a program for families.
They have a program for families where it's just like New Beginnings. They have the kids, if daycare and school, they feed them, and then they'll also help you move out from there into one of their apartment buildings that they own.
Okay.
For about up to a year to a year and a half.
So it's a transitional program, not just at New Beginnings, but they can step you into your own housing in a transitional housing.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And from my experience on being there, it helped a lot. I learned a lot. And because of them, me and my wife found a place to live in Novato where I'm living now.
And you're still living there?
Yep.
I've been there. It's a cozy little pad.
Been there almost 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
The time flies, huh?
Yep. And the way we found out about it is because they had people that came in to New Beginnings trying to help people at New Beginnings find apartments. And it happened to be the Wendover apartments.
Okay.
Yeah. And me and my wife filled it out, and my father-in-law helped us out. And around November 5th, 2004, we found out that we got our house.
You were accepted in?
Yep.
Nice. So you moved in pretty soon after, I imagine.
We moved in like a week after we got back from our anniversary.
Wow. That must have been a really, really exciting month for you.
Yes, it was.
So what was it like for you going from not having any housing to going through transitional housing to finally having your own place?
It took a lot. You know, there's a whole bunch of times I didn't think I was going to make it. There's a lot of times where I thought, you know, why bother even trying, you know?
Some hopelessness?
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody that is on the street that starts getting up and wants to help themselves end up having that happen to them. And I've seen it with two of my friends where they were doing real good and something went wrong in their path on how to get something, and they figured, why even bother trying?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to hang on this point that you just made, that things can go wrong. I don't remember the exact literature that I read it in one of these agencies, because I've dealt with so many.
Yeah.
Both as a client and referring people as an advocate. So I'm paraphrasing here. Most people become homeless because a series of bad things happen to them in a row that they can't recover from.
Yeah.
And what this means, really, to spell it out, is all of us have bad things happen. And all of us have had that situation where we're in a bad situation. Something's really stressing us out and something else hits economically, medical bills, you know, from a medical emergency, the death of a loved one, even the death of a pet can really affect you. Then to have other things just keep coming.
Yeah.
Most of us bounce back, especially if we've got the support. You know, from my reading earlier, he was talking about how people can really feel alone in this day and age without support, which is why I think it's really important for us all to reach out to each other as most we can. Some of us don't grow up with the skills. As you were saying earlier, we push people away and act antisocial because we don't have the skill or maybe the desire, or we're just not comfortable with reaching out to each other, because that's how our society is these days. It's easier to interact listening to my voice on the radio. It's easier to interact through a chat room, online by typing something and not having to worry about it, replying to somebody a couple of days later because you don't have the time, you know. And I myself find my own interactions are not on the phone as much as they are, say, text, because I'm so busy with things. It's a convenience, but at the same way, it kind of alienates me a bit. And I have to remember to reach out to my support structure. And I also really have to remember to reach out and be a support structure for other people. And I don't, Tom, I can think of many instances where you and I have both been a support structure for each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Many of times.
Many times.
And we ended up being great friends.
It did. It bonded us very well.
Yeah.
Very well. What was it you said the first time you saw me? I remember first time I saw you, that look on your face, you sit at that table, I was like, nobody, it was in the soup kitchen. I said, nobody sits next to that guy. Why? And some guy says, just leave that guy alone.
Oh, yeah.
And then you told me something.
Yeah, the only reason why, about you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't like you that much. I actually didn't care for you. You know, but that wasn't who I really was at that time.
We were in different places in our lives then.
Yeah.
It was harder for us.
Yeah, and I believe in both ways that we are meant to reunite. And isn't that a song? Reunite. No.
I think there's a song just about everything. And if there's not, let's write one.
But, you know, I'm actually glad we became friends because you got to know the actual real me, yeah. You know.
The big gnar.
Gnar. But, you know, I was basically raised. I was born in the back of a pickup. I was born homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And I got taken away by the state, you know, because my parents were doing, let's say, illegal stuff.
Okay.
Then I was bounced around from foster home to foster home all over this United States area. And then I got adopted by two of the people that worked at one of them. And when this is how it all started with me being back out on the street, is my dad, my adoptive parent, said something to me that he didn't like about the woman I was dating at the time. And I ended up having a fist fight with him.
So this was like a really bad event.
Yeah.
Maybe things weren't going so well before then, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
I just really didn't get along with my stepdad at all. I know they tried and stuff, but, you know, I guess I was missing my actual parents.
Of course. But you still did have them.
Unfortunately, I didn't. Because my California state worker sent me a photo album and a letter saying that my dad passed away in prison and my mom died of overdose.
It's tragic.
Yeah. And I think that's what set me off.
Okay.
And me and my dad started fighting. And I got him good once, and he told me to leave, and I've never been back since.
You know, it strikes me that your story is not unique. Even though the situations themselves were your experiences and yours alone, there's a lot of situations with all of us, and there are so many of us in this country that come from broken homes, either through divorce or a situation like you had.
Yeah.
There's wars, and wars create veterans. They also kill a lot of people. In either situation, children that are being brought up in the wake of war or any traumatic event, you know, like this country going through 9/11, for example.
Yeah.
These events, they affect people. They affect them very strong, and it can be really difficult for a child to grow up and become adjusted to society, especially when there's not large family units. And, you know, these days we've got the nuclear family thing that is already passed. I mean, it exists, but like I was reading earlier, there's so many people that live alone or choose to live in a relationship where they do not have a permanent bond. They're not married, or they're not going to stay in a bad marriage, so they divorce. And while that gives us all a lot of freedom, I mean, even being on the street, would you agree with me? There's a lot of freedom being on the street.
Yes, there is. But there's also a disadvantage of being on the street and having all that freedom. I mean, you have friends, but, you know, I found out most of the people that I thought were my friends back then weren't actually my friends.
They were associates.
Associates, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like somebody told me once something that I found was really true. I've never been much of a bar fly, but they said, yeah, you know, bars have fair weather friends, because while they're sitting there enjoying what they're doing with you, they're having a good time. They'll make all sorts of promises. Meet me tomorrow, they say. I've got a job for you. Let's talk in the morning.
Yeah.
Here's my number, call me. And you call the next day, and they've like, what? who, don't call again, that type of thing. You know what I mean? Fair weather friend. And, you know, they might be really happy to see you again in 2 more days when you're at that bar or whatever it is that you're doing. And I don't think it's just the street either.
It's all over the place,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it is all over the place. And I would urge anybody that can hear my voice right now, even if it's not comfortable and not an easy thing to do, to give someone a little extra time. Not just because it's the right thing to do, because it's right for you and for them. We've all received a helping hand sometime in our life. Even if we can't immediately see it right in front of our face, no matter how bad we might be feeling. And you received a lot of help from the Homeward Bound program, and there was a lot of people in that staff that helped you get up and get moving.
Yes, there was.
And it wasn't just the Homeward Bound program. I know we both have friends and associates that are beneficial people that have helped us in the past through the different agencies here in Marin.
Yep. One of them's Ritter House. Another one's the Soup Kitchen.
Which is the St. Vincent de Paul Society Free Dining Room.
Yep. There's you. You, caveman, you.
That's right. Beacon used to have hair down to his toes.
Well, you got a haircut.
Oh, yeah, I guess I need another one, but, you know, that happens. Hair grows.
And then, you know, there are people that actually do care.
There are. This is a generalized statement, but I think most people do care. I also believe that most of us can't care about all the people all the time. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. There are a few. My first show I read from the Dalai Lama. And here is somebody who's enlightened enough that they do care about all people all the time. Does he know every one of the billions of people on Earth? No. Does he care about them? Yes. That's a little extreme. We're not all right there.
Yeah.
Some of us are on the other end of the spectrum where we don't care about anything, for example, because things are going badly in our lives and we have to shut down in order to protect ourselves, to keep our emotions from overwhelming us. And I've seen a lot of that out on the streets. I've also seen a lot of that from the haves versus the have-nots, people who maybe they do have a great job that they're good at that pays them a lot of money, and they're no happier.
Nope.
Because they might have found a place in life that gets them the things that they need materially, but they're not getting the support they need from people, from humans. They're not getting the compassion. And that's really what this show and most of my shows have as a tying thread is compassion. I share these resources with all of you out here on Thursday Night Mission so that if you need to use them, they're there for you. You've heard of them. You can see them on my blog spot at Thursday Night Mission. You can, at least if you've just heard the name, look them up. And by the way, I do have links on the blog there to Thursday Night Mission for you to follow up on anything you hear here that you say here, here. And I urge any of you to become involved in the community around you. It's not just that you would maybe need help. Maybe you're in a position where you can help somebody. I, for one, have been having a great time at Dominican University here, and I got here because somebody helped me. Somebody handed me an information packet 2 years ago.
2.5 years ago.
Something like that. And they said, and it was, you know, it was a promo packet, like most colleges have. It wouldn't have meant anything to me. At that time, I didn't believe that I could succeed here. And it was my friend's mother, and she said, I went to Dominican. And my friend said, I'm going to Dominican. Here's how you can do it. And I learned about the Pathways program, and I started to believe. And it was that. It was somebody helping me out, just holding my hand and taking one small step. Once I saw what was in front of me and where to go, I was able to take the steps forward. And now here I am on the air with you.
Yep.
Now, you've taken a lot of steps yourself, Thomas. You now work at Safeway. You said that they got you in Corte Madera. You've worked at other Safeways as well, right?
Yes, I've worked at the Terra Linda Safeway and Santa Rafael Safeway on B Street.
And they did provide you with a lot of training, correct?
Yes, they did.
Now, I know that you worked fish for a long time because, well, being an avid fisherman and all. Tell me a little bit about that process, about what it was like coming into the working world at Safeway and training up.
It was pretty new, you know, but I'm a quick learner on stuff like that. I can take a fillet a fish like nothing else you can see. And, you know, the only big problem with me at the time was communication skills with the customers. Because really, I'm not a person that likes to have to communicate with people.
But you do it. I've heard you announce on the PA, yeah, attention, well, Safeway shoppers. I've heard you behind the counter, like, excuse me, ma'am, that would go really well with this. Yeah?
Yeah, the first 2 years I wasn't really doing it. And then my manager, Lynn, actually came up and said, you know, why don't you try being warm and talking to the customers, see what they need, and help them with what they need to be helped with. And I tried, and what felt good is seeing another person look back at me and smile, say thank you.
You know? So once you started taking that step towards interacting with people and learning some of the skills, you were actually rewarded.
Yeah.
Because you were able to see that it made somebody's day brighter to be able, when they've got to go to the chore of shopping, trying to decide what it is they want, thinking about all the things you have to think of during the day plus shopping, they're able to have you.
Yeah.
And you're a specialist.
I've actually learned how to help my friends when they need help in a hard time.
Yes, you have. Yes, and, you have.
You know, I think that's how I did it, is my manager at Safeway said to give it a try, and I did, and I learned a whole new skill.
So there you go. So coming all the way from complete antisocial hopelessness, not having home, not having any of this, to where you are now, which is a helping, caring individual, a guy who's able to fillet a fish like nothing else and loves fishing, both in the bay, creeks, lakes, and oceans. You've done a great job. I'm proud of you, and I see you as a symbol of the potential in all of us to go from the bottom to the top of where where all of us can be as human beings. I just opened up a file here. I was reminded of this quote. This is from a local author, and thinking about the fishing with you in the ocean and the times that we've had there, and speaking about compassion and love, really, which is the source of all compassion. Let me read this quote to you from Deb Colletti. She is a local author who has published several books, and she does focus on love. I can't say that I've read all the books, but I think that I'm going to be checking them all out. This sounds like really good stuff. This book, Honey, Baby, Sweetheart, sounds like it's dripping with sweetness. This quote, however, is about love, and it uses the analogy of the ocean. What is more like love than the ocean? You can play in it, drown in it. It can be clear and bright enough to hurt your eyes, or covered in fog, hidden behind a curve of roads, and then suddenly there in full glory. Its waves come like breaths, in and out, body stretched to forever in its possibilities, and yet its heart lies deep, not fully knowable, inconceivably majestic. I like that. I got that from the website goodreads.com.
That was nice.
Yeah, it's a really good read. I've got a bunch of her quotes here. I think I'm becoming a little bit of a collector, to tell you the truth.
Uh-oh. At least you're not a stamp collector.
Right. I don't like stamping very much. Well, Tom, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's getting close to closing, and I'm going to wrap stuff up a bit. And I love you. It's wonderful being your friend, having you in my life.
Thank you very much.
I know there are a lot of people who can say the same, that they're really happy to have you in life and happy that not only did you survive, but that you've grown and become such a positive influence on the community here.
Thank you very much.
And here is the solid streets of San Rafael in California, right here in Marin County. We are sitting in the studio of Dominican Radio, broadcasting live from San Rafael, California, from radio.dominican.edu. I am Beacon, and this is Thursday Night Mission. If you want to get more information on this show or any others, come check out our blogs at blogspot.com. We're all blogging, and there is a wonderful group of us here in the radio program. Tomorrow, there's a broadcast from 2 Mellow from 9 to 10 p.m. So he'll be finishing up his broadcast in 24 hours. We're running a little late, so he'll be done by now this time tomorrow. I urge you to tune in anytime. We've got a playlist, great sports events. And, you know, we're able to be here because of free speech. The First Amendment is cool. Without it, there'd be no Facebook. There'd be no radio here. There would be no ability to speak our minds without being persecuted. Did you know you can burn the American flag? I'm not going to say that I do it, but you can do it. Did you know you could also pray in school? Yeah, I can say that I do that sometimes, usually just before an exam, though. If you're like most Americans, you probably know very little about your free speech rights. That's why the Departments of Communication and Media Studies and Political Science are sponsoring the Stand Up, Sit Down, Speak Out First Amendment campaign from March 12th to 16th. Some of the events coming up in this campaign: join us for lunch Wednesday, March 14th in Edge Hill Mansion here to listen to some really smart people talk about the current state of the First Amendment. Where are we now? Not just founding fathers, now here today. There is also going to be student trivia night Thursday, March 15th at 7 p.m. in Creekside Room. Now, we can't say them here, but if you've laughed at the vintage George Carlin routine, then you appreciate humor and free speech. That means you'll definitely appreciate a free ticket to stand-up comedy at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley. Now, that's on the 13th of March, before the other two events, as part of Dominican's First Amendment campaign. You can go to standupsitdownspeakout.com and click on the free to laugh link to reserve your free ticket, because free speech rocks, especially when it's funny. So it's getting close to time to send you back out into the storm, and I think I can actually hear it out there on the horizon. And again, thank you, Tom, for coming. And I want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in tonight and listening to Thursday Night Mission. I am Beacon, your guide out of the stormy airwaves into the solid shores of San Rafael. Thank you for listening to my calling, bringing you home for just a little bit. Our guest tonight, Thomas Heidecker, was happy to be on the show. I'll have some other great guests coming up. We listened to Mr. Wright last week, and I may have the privilege of having him on again next week. We shall see how we line up the guests. If he comes on, he's probably going to be the guest of the guest. Also coming up in weeks to come, I've got some good friends. You know Andrea and Chris, of course.
Yes.
They're either going to come on together or have their own spots. And I'm also going to have on St. Patrick, which works with a Sidewalk Sideshow.
Nice.
I'll have a lot of other great guests on here. We'll be doing talk show and live music as well. But for now, we've reached the end of our program. So thank you once again for coming and listening to Thursday Night Mission. As I send you back out into the storm, I want to remind you to tune in to Dominican Radio every Thursday night, 9 to 10. And until next week, have yourself a good week and keep yourself dry in the stormy airwaves.
Like the beast. Take me as I am.